You know, we come together on a weekly basis to give praise and worship to God together. Again, that's what makes it so unique and so special. There is something special that takes place when the people of God worship. For some of you, the worship event is something that refills you. For your week to come, it helps to get you through your week. For some of you, our gathering is a time of reconfirmation or recommitment to the work of God. For some, this gathering is simply part of the narrative that God is writing for you. And for some, this is your entrance into the story. And might even be the first time you ever heard that story. We come together to worship in an effort to know God and to know him intimately and more fully. That's what happens when we come together for worship. We are a mosaic of sorts. We are different. We have different preferences and we have different stories. Some of us are married with kids. Some of us are single. Some of us are married without kids. Some of us are single again. Each one of us has a story. And there are several things we have in common. I am led to believe that most of us in here worship the same God. Many in here happen to be Buckeye fans, and your stomachs hurt from last night. I understand that. I hope that doesn't get in the way of your worship to God. My team won, by the way. my wife's team's lost, by the way, to my team that won. I could go on for days listing how we are similar and how we have come together. I want us, though, as we launch into a new series, to focus on another similarity. You see, I could go on for days, again, listing where we are similar, but one thing I know that we share some similarities is this idea that although we all live in different houses and some of us live in apartments and some of us may live in places that seemingly isolated. Maybe you live in a country on 15 acres and you're the only house for, you know, a few blocks or a few miles. All of us lives in a neighborhood and none of us live in isolated territories where we don't interact with other people. And that seems to be the case for almost everyone that walks on this earth, especially in this country. You know, in Arizona or New Mexico, I can't think of the place exactly, but there is a community of hermits. There are people who can go spend a week or a month or 3 months with a community of hermits. That doesn't even make any sense, does it? People who are dedicated to living by themselves live in a community with one another, because even hermits need relationships with other people. So we live in places where we work with other people. We interact with people every day. We go to school with other people. We go to the grocery store with other people. We have neighbors. We live in cities, towns, and villages with other people. I don't know if you know this, But there is a reason. God didn't put us here on this earth to live in isolation. God intends to do something with you and do something with me. If you are part of the kingdom of God, you need to know with certainty that God is on a mission. And in his mission, it includes you and it includes me. And when I mention the word mission, you need not draw your attention to what God is doing overseas in other countries. And for the record, what God is doing overseas is amazing. And some of you are involved in some of these great works that God is doing overseas in different countries. In a couple of weeks, Joe Boer is going to get up here and share an opportunity on how we can partner with him as he ministers with God and what he's doing in the country of Honduras. So there's some great things going on overseas. But when I mention mission, I want to draw everyone's attention to what God is doing right in front of your very eyes. I want you to consider what God is doing in your city, your town, or your village. I want to draw your attention to what God is doing on your street and in your subdivision. I want to draw your attention to what God is doing in your apartment building. I want to draw your attention to what God is doing in our neighborhood. And you may be asking the question, well, what is God doing? I want to start answering that question by drawing your attention to a God who has made it clear that his intention is to reach every woman and every man on this planet. Long time ago, God said this to a man named Abram. In Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse number 1, he says to Abram, go from your country, your people and your father's household to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Do you see that God has a mission and he has a passion for people, not just a select few people, not just people on this part of the earth, but all people on this planet? God declared to Abraham a long time ago that he was in pursuit of people. Things were broken and God was interested in restoration. Abram would become Abraham, and through the lineage of Abraham, we would eventually get Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came to earth and died for us, and through his death, we are invited to be reconciled to God. This is the work that God is doing right now, and we have also been invited to join in to that work that God is doing. We too can participate in the blessing that God wants to give to all people on earth, and that includes the people in our neighborhood. Even the neighbors that annoys us. Even the neighbor who walks his dog and doesn't pick up the poop. Can I say poop in church? Even the coworker who has a total disregard for your Christian faith, even the neighbor in the local town who doesn't have any friends and would just rather live as a recluse and all by himself or herself. It is our call, church, to join in with God in what he is already doing. For the next several weeks, we want to be exploring this topic, fusion, joining God in the neighborhood. Over the next several weeks, I hope we will all become convinced that God is up to something and he wants us to be part of that something. And while we search high and low to see what God is doing afar, I want us to open our eyes to what is right in front of us. I want us to look at our neighborhood. Our church is located in Reynoldsburg, and our church membership is made up of residents of Reynoldsburg and Pickerington and Pataskala and Gahanna and Westerville and Columbus and Groveport. And I may have missed some towns, but we have been placed in this community to do something in this community where the church resides, as well as do something in the community where we all reside and live. In his book, Missional, Joining God in the Neighborhood, Alan Roxburg writes, quote, at this point in our history, we need to be asking radically different questions. What is God up to in our neighborhoods and communities? How do we join with what God is doing in these places? What is the nature of an engagement between the biblical imagination and this place where we find ourselves at this time among these people? What then will a local church look like when it responds to such questions? The focus and direction of these questions are not primarily about the church, its inner functions and processes, or its ideal identity and nature. They are about God and how God relates to our neighborhoods. Let me reiterate that this worship time we are attempting to know and get to know God more fully while confessing that ourselves are fully known by God. Perhaps through worship we can receive revelation regarding the heart of God and his heart regarding our neighborhood. What better way to understand God and see God than to look at his son? I want to direct your attention to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 1. This is a familiar text if you're familiar with the New Testament and familiar with the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, which starts off, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God." And the key phrase here in this next verse, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word, the Greek there is the word logos. The Greek word logos, or the word logos, or the term logos, was a very important term in Greek culture. It was a very, very important term. In fact, Greek philosophers and Greek thought said that the universe was no mistake. They believe, they may not have subscribed to our God, Elohim, Jehovah, but they believe that there was something that held things together, that regulated things that happening, the things that were going on, the timing of the sun and the moon and the placement of the stars and the timing of the seasons. Greek thought and Greek philosophers said there has to be something that sustains it all and creates this space and makes it tick. And they call that thing logos. Well, in Jewish thought, Jews connected logos with Jehovah. And so when we read John and we see "in the beginning was logos," our minds go to Jehovah, that this God, this Elohim, this God that we understand that has been revealed in Scripture. So then we see the logos as a participant from the very beginning in everything. The text says through this logos, everything that was created through logos. So now understand the impact of verse number 14, where it says, "And the logos," the word, "became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw him." The word for "dwelled among us" literally means he pitched his tent. That is to say that Logos lived among the people he sought to minister to. He didn't minister from some lofty mountain and gave direction from afar. If you watch movies on Greek mythology, you see the gods on Mount Olympus, and they seem to, from afar, be directing affairs and doing things, but they didn't participate as this Logos that we're reading in John. This Logos in John came down and he moved in the hood. He pitched his tent and he stayed a while. He participated in humanity with humanity, in human homes, in groups of humans, at the tables of humans, at the community centers with humans. He came and lived in the neighborhood. I like the way the message renders John 1, 9 through 14. It says the life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world. The world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like father, like son, generous inside and out, true from the start to finish. And when Logos became flesh and blood and lived in the neighborhood, there was a collective there goes the neighborhood, because things were going to be different. Change was on the horizon. Light does that to darkness. Light changes perspective. Light changes what can be seen. Light changes actions. Light was here, and there goes the neighborhood. And I know that phrase can sometimes have a negative of common connotation, but church, I want us as a body to change the connotation. Because when we join God in the neighborhood, there will be people that will say, there goes the neighborhood. There are things to be done in this city and in the city where you live. It's time for us to join God's mission in our neighborhood. You see, there are lives that need to be changed. There are people who are living life day to day, mundane, same this, same that. And you know what? They need a change. So it's time for us to join God in the neighborhood. There are communities that need rebuilding. There are things, destruction, lives that are being destroyed because of society. That's why we need to join God in the neighborhood, and we need to change things. There are villages that need positive influences. I'm sick of hearing negativity. I'm sick of hearing decline. I'm sick of hearing depression. It's time for us to join God in the neighborhood and change some things. There are children that need role models. There are children who grow up in single parent homes or in homes where parents aren't involved, and they need some positive influence in their lives. There's time for us as a church to join God in the neighborhood, because we need to change some things. There are residents that need friends. There are so many people who are just simply alone, and they live lonely, and they need someone to call a friend. They need someone when it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and they need somebody to call. And right now, they don't have anyone in their phone that they can call at 3 in the morning. They need us, the church, to join God in the neighborhood so that they have someone to call at 3 a.m. Church, we need to join God in the neighborhood so we can change some things. There are those with disabilities that need help. There are some folks that can't do for themselves like we would want them to do for themselves, and they need the church to help. They don't need us to judge. They don't need us to talk about what they can do. They need us to serve. They need us to help. That's why we need to join God in the neighborhood so we can change some things. There are addicts that are in need of recovery. We need to show people the way. We need to teach people that there are ways that they can get off of their addictions, get off of an addiction to drug or an alcohol or to food and become addicted to Jesus, right, Charles? They can do it, like my man Charles, who's been sober for 2 years. They need us to join God, in the neighborhood so we can change things. There are homeless people who need hospitality. We may not be able to give them a home right away, but we can make them feel welcome. We can be hospitable. We can say you have value. Just because you don't have a home doesn't mean you're a zero. We need to join God in the neighborhood so we can change some things. There are the hungry that needs food. That's simple, church. People are hungry. We need to give them some food. We need to join God in the neighborhood so we can change some things. There are families that are in need of training. There are mothers and fathers that we'd much rather just disregard and talk about how bad they are. They're terrible parents. They may be terrible parents, but God, we need to join God in the neighborhood, and we need to provide training, and we need to provide coaching for these parents so that these kids don't die because of a lack of parenting. We need to join God in the neighborhood so we can change some things. There are folks that are financially illiterate. They need education. There are fathers that need other fathers. There are mothers that need other mothers. There are those who are sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they need a roadmap to rest. There are those who are seeking and need some folks to point them in the right direction. There are those who are stuck in grief, and they don't need people to come and solve their grief. They need someone to come and cry with them. That's why we need to join God in the neighborhood so we can change some things. Coming to church is fine and great, and we need to be here when the doors are open. But in order to really connect with the groups of people I just mentioned, we got to get out into the neighborhood and join in with God and what he's already doing. His mission will not be hindered by our inactivity, yet he invites us right now to be part of it. So then, by fusion, we join in together with God in the neighborhood. Over the next several weeks, we will develop this theme and proceed with action. There will be some concrete and practical ways we will be invited into in regards to the work of God in this neighborhood. We will explore our church and this community to see where God wants us to move and shake. This is much more than evangelism, church. This is our moment to impact and influence a generation. The time is now. So let's go. There will be opportunities galore for us to look at and explore. Right now at this very moment, there is something that we can be doing for our community right now, the Reynoldsburg community. As many people know, the Reynoldsburg school system is in a bit of some turmoil right now. I believe the teachers are voting today on whether or not they're going to strike. I have no indication of whether they are going to strike or not going to strike. I do know that there are some angry parents. I know that there's some angry board members, and there's some angry teachers. And the victims in this are the children. You have children who are now going to go to school, and some of their friends are going to be taken out of school because parents aren't going to send their kids to school with these substitutes that are coming in. And so you have kids that go to school and maybe have a problem going to school, but they connect with some friends, and that helps them to get along, or they've connect with a particular teacher or staff member, and now they got to reacclimate with new teachers. So right now, we have an opportunity to join God in the neighborhood by getting on our knees and praying for this school system in Reynoldsburg. We need to be praying for teachers. We need to be praying for board members. We need to be praying for superintendents. We need to be praying for parents. We need to pray for peace. We need to pray for resolution. And not only that, we need to pray to God on how we can partner in this community to make a difference in the lives of these kids. I want to tell you that I had a meeting with someone at this church that has come up with a great idea that would put us in a position to become a center to help kids succeed in school, which will help successful teachers, which will help become a successful school, which will make this community great because people want to move into this community, which will create revenue in this community, which will make this community a growing community. And when people move to Central Ohio, they'll say, man, I'm going to Reynoldsburg because that's where it's at. It's time for us to join God in the neighborhood. So let's go. I want you to be mindful of the Reynoldsburg schools and pray for them. I'm gonna pray for them in just a second. I want you to pray alongside with me. And I also want you to pray to God that he helps you, illuminate you, help you get to know you, help you get to learn what your gifting is, what your talent is, help you to be motivated to get into this community in Reynoldsburg or the community where you live and to move and to shake. It's time for us to join God in the neighborhood so we can change things. Is that all right, church? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for uniquely placing us here in Reynoldsburg or Westerville or Gahanna or Pataskala or Pickerington or Groveport or Columbus. Thank you for uniquely placing us, God. And Father, we believe that you did not place us there to lock ourselves up in our homes and to become a recluse, but you have placed us there to get out and to join you in that neighborhood, to move and to shake and to impact and to influence. So God, help us as we flesh out this theme of joining you in the neighborhood to have a better understanding of ourselves as a church, ourselves as individuals. Help us to discover our gifts and our talents. Help us to connect how we can use that in the mission of God as it is played through this church. Father, right now we join our hearts together in praying for the Reynoldsburg community, God, that seems to be so divided over varied issues. And God, I pray that you would protect the children involved, that you would not allow this situation to create a deficiency in the learning of our children. Father, for those who are going to be shaken by a lack of stability, Father, I pray that you would be the stabilizer. Father, use us in any way you see fit to be a stable environment, a stable voice, a stable body, a stable heart. God, praying for the board in Reynoldsburg, the teachers in Reynoldsburg, praying that they will come to some sort of solution soon rather than later. And God, in addition to that, Father, where there are people who are crying out for release or crying out for connection, God, lead us into the neighborhood where you are. Father, I pray that we will join you in ministering and serving where you see fit. Father, this is our prayer, this is our commitment, this is our desire. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church, we're on our way. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do over the next several weeks. If you have any comments or questions or thoughts or ideas, Start talking about it now. Start talking to me. Start talking to each other. Talking in your small groups. You say, I don't have a small group to talk to. Well, get in a small group and talk about it. These are the places, these are the conversations we have to have over the next several months as we finish out 2014 and look forward to 2015. If you are here today in the church, you need the church to pray for you or connect with you, read the Bible with you, study Jesus with you. We want to provide those opportunities for you. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, confess Jesus, be baptized, we'll do that for you. You got an upcoming surgery, upcoming procedure, you got something going on in your life, you want to share with the church and you want us to join in with you in prayer about that, we want to give you that opportunity as we stand and sing this song.